There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Please get in touch with your survivor stories or thank you letters. You can reach us at contact@whydoyouthink.com or on Instagram at either Emily_Lang_UK or at whydoyouthinkpodcast. Hello and welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent, returnee from rock bottom and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn, but are so grateful that we did. So, trauma. It comes from all kinds of places. And one of those places might just be a home invasion. Crazy, I know. But please listen to these stories. You're not going to regret it. My guest, comedian Alison Spittle, and I are telling all today. Okay, so here we are in July of 2016. And would you believe it? I definitely can't. In Dublin. In Dublin, it's balmy on this particular day. And we are stood outside a house, which is called the, are we allowed to say?
So the area is called Dolphin's Barn.
Dolphin's Barn, a magical place, as you can tell.
Oh, truly.
It was pretty magical. But we're on the banks of the Royal Canal, July 2016. It is balmy. And Alison, in this moment, why do you think you've got no friends?
Ooh, well, like, why do I think I got no friends? I moved around a lot as a kid,
yeah.
So I'm very used to kind of making a lot of acquaintances.
Aww.
I'm not used to making strong foundational friendships.
Mm-hmm.
But this place that I wanted to talk about in this event was like a place that like it kind of gave me a nervous breakdown, and I thought, who better than to talk to yourself, Emily, about nervous breakdowns?
That's my fucking girl right there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And my, I feel like I've come to a good dinner party with a big bottle of wine to go, like, devour this. So
dig in.
Exactly. Vintage, 2017. Grown on only in the best of best Irish horrible situations. The mouthfeel gritty, I would say.
Ooh, that is powdery.
Yeah. I really gets in the back of the throat there. Beautiful. So I had a bit of an adventure. It's like, so what happened was I came home from a gig, got a lift home from a gig from a lovely lady called Linda. Now, I was living in this house. It was the first house I moved into after college in Dublin, and it was with this landlady. And this landlady was very lackadaisical when it came to like well, privacy and stuff. Like she would, she would go into my bedroom and take out my dirty washing and then do my washing and bring it back.
Oh my god, it's yeah. like you can see the good intention, but you're like,
exactly,
no,
exactly,
Jesus,
especially like, yeah, that, she really went above and beyond, and also. Like, when that happened, I asked her if I could have a key for my bedroom because I thought that would be a way of stopping her from going in, but not bringing up the fact that she came into my bedroom. And she said, well, if anyone needs a key for their bedroom, that means they're keeping secrets. And if they're keeping secrets, they can get the fuck out of my house. So she was a live-in landlady. She was really nice, but she was like, she was crazy when it came to that type of stuff.
Oh my god.
Not even though, look, you've got your hands up to your mouth yet. Yeah, you were going to be turned inside out in a few. I feel so. She also had corns on her feet. Now you might go, how do I know she's got corns on her feet? Because she wouldn't stop going on about it, la 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 la, all the time about the corns, right? And she would say, if only there was someone kind enough, some kind soul that would help take these corns off my feet. I have the equipment and everything here. And then she would put down this dirty cup full of water and these implements that I could only describe as like just like a blade on the end. Look,
was it like something out of Saw?
It was genuinely something out of Orange is the New Black. It was like a cup full of shivs, like just, and a cheese grater, just absolute. You were in a war and you were the pedicurist and you were like, this is the type of stuff that you'd be doing. But I was so young, I didn't know how to say no around a fence, you know? Thanks. So what I would say is like, hey, yeah, I'd love to do it, but my wrists at the moment, they're very sore. I got carpal tunnel syndrome. And I would be telling her this for months, right? I basically corn teased this woman like for months without doing her corns. And
oh my god, are you corn teased?
I was a big corn tease. A big frigid when it came to feet, I must be honest.
I hate feet. I'm
a bit worried because I got feet on my poster because I bought really nice shoes for the photo shoot,
nice.
But I broke my neck. You know, I just could not stand. I realized I can't wear high heels. So like
I never do.
No, I was like I was like a drunk bloody circus act. Absolutely destroying myself on the job. So I took off my shoes and we just took pictures because I just wasn't, and then we got some really nice pictures. And in Ireland, this is going on loads of tangents, but I will come back to
you.
Don't worry, you're getting the trauma. Yeah. But let's let me take a few.
But let's talk about feet in Ireland.
Let's talk about feet in Ireland. So I did this like, sometimes I go on TV in Ireland, and one day I went on TV for a daytime TV show. It was like This Morning, but it's on in the afternoon. And Samantha Mumba. So it's like This Afternoon. It should be This Afternoon, but it isn't. It's called The 6 o'clock Show. And it's great because you get free food at it. I love it. Someone cooks in the corner and then you just promote whatever you're promoting. And it's great fun.
Fantastic afternoon.
Well, The guest presenter that day was Samantha Mumba, who is a childhood hero of mine. I love her so much. And after, because like the thing about being famous enough to go on TV in Ireland is that you go on TV in Ireland, but you're also very poor. And I couldn't afford to like get a taxi back. And I didn't feel like I had enough. I wasn't like, because I was like promoting. It's that weird thing of like, you know, you're lucky to be there, so you're just going to be at the least amount of trouble possible.
Oh, yeah.
So
I will make this as easy as possible for everybody.
Yeah. And this is in, but the problem is this like place is in the middle of an industrial estate and the nearest public transport is like a half an hour walk away. So I was walking out of this industrial estate and I heard beep, beep. And look, it's Samantha Mumba, right? And I'm like, oh my God. And she's like, I'll give you a lift into town. I'm like, yes. So I'm there with my childhood hero in her car. She gives me like the best conversations ever. And I will keep it secret for the love of Samantha. Like nothing secret of hers, but she was giving me some good gossip.
Yeah, and it felt
incredible.
Yeah.
And then I was there with my childhood hero. And then like I just out of the blue, I just went to her because I knew she was on. And I looked her up on Twitter because I wanted to follow her on Twitter. But what I found was this, I was going to say niche sex account, kink, right? This person who's got a kink that they like women in leather trousers or leather shoes or pleather. and they love Irish TV. So they catalogue anytime that like a woman is on TV wearing like leather trousers.
I'm sorry, like that. But don't you just fucking love people?
I mean, not only the,
there's something for everyone out there.
Absolutely, and like if you're good at admin and you've got a deep. Deep seated thing. So I said to her, you know, you're on this guy's Twitter thing. She said, oh, and then I was like, why am I telling my child to hear about this kink man? What was it? So we went to Samantha Mubber, but what were we talking about before that? Because I'll bring you to the trauma.
So it was the corns, you were corn teasing her.
Corn, oh yes!
You were corn teasing her.
Corn, thank you so much. Thank you. Did you know I'm undiagnosed ADHD?
What up, bitches? There's three of us, because there are four people currently sat in this room, and three of us have ADHD. This is an absolute fucking nightmare.
It's like an orgy and like one cook at the side. He's a neuro cook. So yeah.
He's the only man in this room, and he's also the one who's not neurodivergent. Fantastic. Have a lovely time, babe.
Have a lovely
afternoon. We're talking about corn teasing.
Corn teasing this woman. So what happened was she was just lackadaisical about security.
Yeah.
One day she went away for the weekend and I went and did a gig. And I got a lift back to the house and the lights were on and I went inside.
Was it Samantha Mumba dropping you back?
Imagine. She just does a backflip going, yeah, 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 yeah. Wah, wah, wah. I fucking love that woman. She's got a new single out called The Light. It is very good. Oh, it is very good.
I'll link it below, everybody.
Please, Sound of the Summer. Genuinely, love it. So, like, so I came home. Mm-hmm. I put some nuts in the oven because at the time there was a bit of a craze where you'd like bake nuts in.
Oh,
like,
yeah, 2016, the year of the nut.
Oh, big time, the year of the nut. And and I put on Graham Norton, I was all excited. And I called down my landlady and I was like, landlady. Well, I said her name, I ain't going to say it.
First name is Land, her second name is Lady.
Oh, landlady.
Miss Lady.
What day is it today? Why, it's rent day. I want you to get most of your income and give it to me.
Why?
Why, it's rent day.
It's like fucking Wait Christmas Carol. You there, boy.
Why, it's the day I get my gyro. Come here, boy.
Sorry, guys.
And So I called her down, and what came down was like this. It was this man with a pillowcase over his face. I told you I was going to give you trauma.
I've been looking for some new stuff.
Still not really over it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
PTSD.
CPTSD.
It's complex.
It's complex. It's the NHS have told me.
Oh my god, that's fucking amazing. That should be the theme tune. For God's sake, get rid of that damn ukulele. We
need that. Oh, come here.
It's
no,
complex.
Ukuleles really do say CPTSD for any song. Do you know what I mean? And I say that while looking at your ukulele.
This is what when Brennan Reese was here, and he went, your parents are divorced, aren't they? And he was like, just from the fact that there's 15 ukuleles on the wall, like, you are not okay.
No. And that's fine. I mean, podcast, it's like, it's the perfect place to chat about
this. Oh, God, I'm sweating so much, Eric. Okay, so he came out with a pillowcase on his head.
Pillowcase over his face, and the other pillowcase, my pillowcase.
No!
Was that there's a detail that I have for you. So he got my pillowcase, so a pillowcase over his face, another pillowcase for the laptops, right? I looked at, look, he came down the stairs and I was like, that's not my landlady, right? This is a dude. But instead of going out the front door, he came into me into the kitchen. And like the thing, so to give you like, I'm going to give you the actual like reality. And like,
and there are nuts in the oven.
There are nuts. These nuts are fucked as well. Like, A lot of nuts getting cooked.
Fuck me, there's a lot going on. Okay.
So he came into the kitchen, and because there was a weird thing of like when. Like, because I was, like, half afraid of a strange man being in my house.
With a pillowcase like, over his head.
Yeah. Or, like, you know when you put your foot out of the duvet and you're like, a man's going to pull at this foot.
Yep.
You know? But, like, there was a part of me that, like, I heard footsteps. And it was the only time where I was ever so sure it wasn't, like, a strange man in my house. But it was a strange man. So he came down and he was like, car keys. And he came into me. And then I stood there and I'm like, I tried to learn how to drive when I was 15, but I couldn't work the clutch. And I started telling this man my whole life story involving cars. He was not interested in that. I was doing my own podcast about my driving history.
Well, it all started when I was 7.
Totally. Yeah.
Wait, so, and he was just saying car keys?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Hodor from Game of Thrones?
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
Irish leather case.
I've not seen Game of Thrones, but did he have a knife as well? Probably.
Wait. Oh, my God. Okay. Right. So from my ADHD brain, we are in the kitchen. There are nuts in the oven. In my head, they're cashews.
This time, I was like, probably Jennifer Lawrence. Probably. Absolute who.
Probably J-Law in there. Who can do no wrong.
No wrong.
She
didn't help me in my situation. She was just doing an anecdote about Hunger Games.
She can kill my fucking kids. I don't care. She's perfect. Okay. So she's there with Graham Norton. Mm. And then there's a man walks into the kitchen. He has a pillowcase on his head. Yeah. He's saying the words car keys and he has a knife.
He's a knife and a pillowcase full of like laptops. So he has his hands full at this stage.
This is... Yeah. And you're going... So I started driving when I was 15.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like... what happened then was... he saw my handbag on the table. So he was, when I was blathering on about how my relationship with my dad is damaged from the driving lesson we had, he was like, okay, fuck this. Went to go to the bag, picked up the bag. But when he picked up the bag, I ran out the front door. And I used to always keep my phone in my bra. And everyone used to go to me, breast cancer, Alison, breast cancer. And I'm forever thankful. I had that phone on my bra.
Saying that now.
I started screaming outside, like absolutely screaming at the top of my lungs. And by the time I came outside, it was like fully dark. And like this little 12-year-old girl came over with a chihuahua walking up towards me. And I was like, neither of us are going to help each other here. So I just started screaming.
And the chihuahua's not going to be any fucking help.
And I'm calling the police. And he comes out the front door then. But like he's got what he wanted now. And he runs out. He runs to the canal like a villain, like he's just gone. So the police come, they do a big donut in front of the house. Which way did he go? And I'm like, the canal. And I was half expecting the police to go floor it into the canal. Drive it.
Oh my God.
Chase him down. Oh my God. Yeah. So so the police came and it was the first ever time that like something traumatic had happened to me that I didn't expect.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've been down to trauma rodeo before, but there was definite warning signs of stuff. We were like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This was like...
it's the kind of thing that you never think will happen.
But it's just something that you torment yourself about the whole time.
Yeah.
And the annoying thing is then, the guard, which is a policeman... he was so lovely, so sweet. He came in and he gave me like his little card and he was like, I told him about the situation with the landlady because he said, look, this robber got in through the top window. And I was like, that's my landlady's window. And he's like, and none of the place was locked. And I was like, yeah, because my landlady won't let it.
Because my landlady says if you're locking anything, then you're keeping secrets. So.
Yeah, no, what you mean secrets is your possessions. Like you're keeping your possessions within the home.
Jesus
Christ. So the guard was like, look, move. And like, before you move, if you're scared of the area or anything like that, give me your ring and I will tell you like how many crimes have happened in that street.
Oh.
Like he was very, very kind, like very nice. So
was the landlady all right, by the way?
Oh, she was like holidaying. Like it was great though, because it gave me a full excuse to like move out. She gave me my deposit back.
Yeah.
In fairness.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't have to do her corns.
Yeah, so she left with those corns intact. But like,
yes. Yeah.
Do you know what's funny is when you said When it started with a man came down the stairs with a pillowcase over his head.
Yeah.
Saying car keys. My brain went straight to, he's playing a weird sex game with the landlady.
Oh my God.
I don't know why that's what, like,
involving me.
Yeah, like they were sort of having a weird, like eyes wide shut party upstairs.
Do you know what? I've had such bad luck with living landladies. Yeah. So I lived with another landlady when I was like 18 in Britain. And I came over.
That's your first mistake.
I know. I came over to work in a telly sales place, right? As my little summer job. And then she sold her knickers online as a like business. And she was like, and you can do it too. And we can like make double the money, you know?
It's like Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, it was like that. Yeah. It, genuinely, when they, because she said, you don't even have to use your real vagina. Like, you can just. So when I was watching Orange is the New Black, I was like, aha.
Who's, what are they, oh, with the, oh yeah, I kept on.
Well, she said, like, you don't have to wear it all day. You could just, like, God.
Dude, what a smart lady. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I said, no, I've got a lot of like Catholic guilt within. And it just felt as well like you don't want to mix business with your living land.
Yeah, there needs to be a separation situation between church and state.
Yeah. Like if you get the sack, you're evicted. So I felt
fucking
like,
hell. You know. So you lived with a living landlady who sold her pants online and then another one who wanted you to take the corns off her feet. And then there was a man with a pillowcase. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And then after this, you move. You move out, and this gives you a great excuse. Corns are...
Moving to a new place.
Yeah.
Landlord is lovely.
Oh, Mr. Asked Lord, yeah.
Me why I moved out. He's the best type of landlord because he's a guy who inherited his house and he didn't care about making a profit. So I was able to, like, live in this house and be able to... It was like having a rich dad, like, genuinely, because I was able to pursue comedy while being able to... While never being afraid that I was going to be... kicked out of this place.
Yeah,
and I
could
afford to live there.
Oh,
yeah. He's incredible. Like, he was a Nepo landlord, which is like two words separately, don't like them, but together, mwah, beautiful. Like, genuinely. They're very chill. Nepo landlords, because they feel a bit of guilt for like inheriting already, and they treat you well.
You know what, babe? So, you do you. If I'm going to benefit from it, thanks very much.
So he said to me, like, why did you move out of your last place so quickly? And I told him. And then he said to me, well, you know, my front door isn't the most secure. I need to put in a new front door. So I'm going to put in a new front door before you move in. And it's a 5-bolted lock, so you should feel safe. I'm like, great. Now, the problem is the person that installed the door left the old front door beside the new front door. So if you're anyway criminally inclined, you might want to check to see whether that front door is locked properly or not. I went to see Taken 2 with my new flatmate.
Fucking yeah.
Oh, all the anxiety in us, right? Got home with my new flatmate. Look up at the top of the stairs, 2 men with crowbars, right? So... yeah. It was an eventful month.
Do you know, my first thought as well, I don't know where my brain is going today, but my first thought when you told
another sex game, another sex game.
No, I thought you were going to be like the landlord when you told him about what happened before, and he was going to be like, what, this pillowcase?
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, I did 2 jobs. I landlord and there were 2 men with crowbars.
Fucking hell. Okay, yeah. and then...
They were kinder. They were better robbers because, like, they just wanted to get out as soon as, like, we came in. Mm. It wasn't like the other one. They were more gentlemanly kind of, like, robbers. Yeah,
so, quite hot.
Yeah. Well, the problem was is that I told my flatmate, I was like, because she's from South Korea and we didn't have, like, it was our first time... meeting, and she came over to learn English, so her English was fantastic, but it wasn't like she wasn't fully fluent,
right?
So she was going to me like Allison, and I'm like, don't worry, I've been through this before. And I just rolled up into a ball in front of the front door. And the problem is they wanted to get out, but they were trying to get through the front door, but I was physically blocking the front door because I was like in a rolled up in a ball, like a hedgehog doorstop, like just absolutely swearing.
It's kind of adorable.
It's so, yeah. So they were like trying to open the door. I was like, I'm going to call the police so hard when you leave. Mm. And but they just lightly footed me to the side, like you'd do with a pair of dirty underwear if you brought someone back to your house. Yeah. You know that kind of maneuver?
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt you.
I've been there.
You're an obstacle.
I don't want to hurt you.
No.
I don't want to, but I do need to get out of this door.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Big time. So did that. And then my flatmate, she said to me, I got 1,500 euros worth of South Korean money in my drawer and a fiver in sterling. And we're like, oh, shit. So we checked the drawer to see, like, what they've taken. And they only took the fiver. So we felt like we robbed them. It felt incredible. They do not know the value of South Korean money.
I just thought they were nice.
Yeah.
those idiots.
Yeah, I only need a fiver. I only broke into this person's house for a fiver.
Oh, fuck, I need a pint of milk.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this door looks open. Bang.
Jeez.
So I became, like, I was definitely always afraid to go into the house.
I can't believe this. Oh, like,
there's more. So a few days after that, I'm cycling on my bike back from a gig, going back to the house, feeling anxious about it.
Yeah.
And then I heard this noise, and it's like 10:30 at night. And I heard a hello. Oh, hello. And I'm like cycling and I'm looking at my handlebars going like, Alison, this sounds far too much like a flasher to be an actual flasher.
Yeah,
could be an eccentric man that wants to give me money. Why not be open to the opportunity? So I look up and it's a man of his dick out, right? I was right the first time. He's a flasher.
And you were on your bike?
I'm on my bike, right? I'm on my bike, and you know, my cardio ain't the best, so I did see a lot of it. You know, if it was Lance Armstrong, he's only gonna get like a half a second.
Oh,
you know,
hello.
Oh, hello, and like like that. So I got home, called the police straight away. My new flatmate, not the South Korean one, a different flatmate. Bit of an asshole. She was like, oh, I was like, I've got flashed. I was crying. Mm. She's like, oh, it can only happen to you, Alison. The crazy things happen to you.
Well, that's helpful. Thanks very much.
Like a Mr. Bean. Like if Mr. Bean got
oh, Alison. Yeah.
Imagine Mr. Bean getting flashed, like, or having his house broken into.
Really like, different episode.
Yeah, a man with a pillowcase over his face holding a knife up to Teddy, like,
Jesus.
You know, car keys.
Yeah.
So, like, so, like, what happened, I'll tell you all of this anecdote. Mm. And the reason why is, like, that happened in July and I tried to do stand-up about it, but I didn't have, like, so having the police came over and it was so lovely hearing the police come in because they were, like, they were trying to be reassuring, but they're, like, big, hefty country men from Ireland.
Right.
So they were, like, before they even saw me, they were like, open up the front door and they're like, don't worry about it at all. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have touched you at all. He's what's known as a voyeur. And to hear like an Irish lad try and pronounce a French sounding thing, like sommelier or something it felt like, it felt great. And he,
voyeur.
They were like, what did he look like? And I tried to give him a description. And because I could do comedy, I was trying to be like as descriptive as possible.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, he was dressed like a member of the Backstreet Boys from the late 90s.
Love it. Because you want to make their night you good wanna, as well. Yeah.
They wrote that down. They wrote that down.
That's going in like the calendar at the end of the year. Like, best quotes.
He's on the radio later on going, Nick Carter has struck again, you guys, around the South Circular Road. So,
dressed like a member of the Backstreet Boys.
They did it, but like I got like, so I was anxious all the time of going into my house, anxious leaving my house, and the only place I felt safe was like my bedroom.
Yeah.
So I just stayed in my bedroom for as long as possible, which is hard when it's not an ensuite. And like I did piss into a pint glass at some point.
Have you done that?
I've beautiful.
Done that. Don't worry.
Where did you dispose of the glass?
Good question.
And like is it still here? Wait there. Where's the pint?
Oh,
fuck. No, I'm going to put down this pint of water.
No, I had a flatmate who I was so terrified of that I pissed into a bottle.
Oh, a bottle?
On my birthday.
That's an incredible aim. Like, I pissed into that pint glass and it was like straight up a pint. Like there was no, do you know what I mean?
Or like just brushing the rim.
Yeah, I was like, do you know, it was like, you know when you go to a concert and they just throw a glass underneath the tap and it goes straight, it's a pint straight away. Like, and it wasn't part of me that was going like, Alison, can you piss into a pint glass? This is how low you've gone.
Yeah.
And then the other part of my head was like, Alison, can you piss into a pint
glass? Yeah.
Like, is it physically possible?
Yeah.
Yes, it is, babes.
Yeah.
And there was this weird thing of like, you reassure yourself when you're fully doing something mental, you're like, well, if any piss goes on the floor, that's when you're mentally ill. What you're doing now is perfectly fine.
Negotiating.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Where you're like, no, you haven't gone far too. Yeah, you haven't gone too far, Alison. You may be pissing in a pint glass, but You ain't like those other people.
Yeah,
you ain't like those other people. On the floor.
It's on the sheets. It's, yeah. No. This is classy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just a bohemian.
Yeah, I'm not like those other girls who piss in the pint glasses. I'm a cool girl.
I'm cool. I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. What is the 411?
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So you were terrified, and then so you were just staying in your bedroom, like,
yeah.
But like the amount of trauma that this is inflicted, and it's just like being wham bam 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 bam, like relentless,
big time, yeah, absolutely relentless. And it was just like in such a short amount of time.
Mm.
And I think I've always been afraid before. What annoys me is that like you can be afraid, but you can go like, you're being ridiculous. It is impossible. Then it's like proving that part of your ridiculous part of your brain, right? And you go, you know, I could hear like a brush, like, there's a man in the house.
Yeah.
The other side of me be like, nah, there's not a man. There can't be a man in the house. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, there was a man before.
Yeah.
Twice.
You can't be like, rational. Yeah. You can't be rational. And the thing is, like, for touch wood, like if you've been lucky enough not to experience that, you can kind of talk yourself out of it, because you're going, it's the same way as like, I don't know, I walked in a dark tunnel the other day and I was like, I know rationally that the worst thing that can be in here is probably someone who, like, it's someone who's probably quite unwell and is maybe a drug addict and maybe a bit aggressive. That is like, that is the worst thing that can happen. That is, or maybe it's the Babadook. Like, maybe, even though I know it's not, like, I know it's not going to be there, my brain still goes, but maybe.
Wouldn't it be great if the film The Babadook was about, like, a flasher that was the Babadook?
I think it is about a flasher. So, have you seen the way he holds his hat?
Yeah.
And his long trench coat and his top hat.
Yeah, he's got that big hat.
He's got flasher written all over him.
Yeah, he goes robbing houses and stuff like that. That'd
Whether it's in a story.
The burglar duke.
Or in a book. You can't get rid of the Babadook.
Yeah, it's not his fault he's scary looking. He's just going into your house for money and resources.
He's just hungry and cold. As many of us are. Because he lives.
Oh, jeez.
So, how long did this last? This, like, this thing of not wanting to come out of your room and the fear that was surrounding that?
Well, like, I went for professional help at the time because I had money.
Yeah.
And then, like, I got less money, so then I was like, I'm cured.
Oh, yeah. My God, this makes so much sense. I have less money, therefore I'm fine.
I don't have money. I didn't have, like, spare money to spend on, like, mental health care.
Yeah.
So then I was like, well, that means that I'm obviously cured.
Yeah.
And then, like, I moved to London, and I've been robbed, like, 8 times in Dublin. Bits and bobs, like, as in, like, walking in on people or being burgled or being mugged or being pickpocketed and stuff like that. So, like, then I moved to London and I was like, well, it's gonna be crazy. It's Robbie Town here, because it's a bigger city.
I've seen Oliver Twist, I know what happens.
Exactly. Every time. I just kept imagining the Artful Dodger just hanging around the corner.
Ah, small child!
Yeah, bang. Straight in.
Kick him to the chest.
Kick him into traffic. I am traumatized. You're diminishing my trauma. So that's what I'll say to the police. Do you have anything to say? kicking a kid.
He was wearing ripped trousers and had a top out. I know what it was about.
He was a small Babadook.
He was singing at the same time.
Baby Duke. That's what he was. Baby Duke.
He was the Baba.
He's a Baba. He's a Babadook. Oh.
Sorry, that's really good. Yeah. Ooh, the Babadook.
So what were we chatting about there before this?
Getting into London. And you were like, this is going to be like robbed town.
Yeah.
You were like, I'm going to get robbed left, right and centre.
So I gave myself severe panic attacks.
Yeah.
Especially at nighttime and stuff, which is a shame because I do stand-up comedy. So you want to like...
It's tricky and you don't want to be doing that during the day.
Yeah, and you feel like you make your world smaller. So I was doing that. And then, so moving to London, I do have rich friends now. And I will like cat sit for my friends. And I'm allergic to cats.
I was going to say, Mickey's currently locked away looking through the window being like, guys.
You will hurt me. You will hurt me.
You've hurt me. I will hurt you back.
And like, my friend has got these two cats and they're lovely. They're boisterous. And they went up and down the stairs and I could see them going up and down the stairs. But the sound that they made triggered it. They just sounded like the man going down the stairs. So the other side of my brain is going, Alison, there's a man in your house robbing you. And then the logical side of my head is like, Alison, there isn't. Like, you know there isn't. You can see the cats. And then the illogical side was like, shut up, bitch. You've been robbed. And then the logical side of my head tried to like negotiate with the logical side and was like, well, maybe the cats have put on shoes. Maybe that's what they have done. Maybe this is why they sound like men.
Yeah.
So, like, I had a panic attack in the downstairs bathroom. And called up my boyfriend. He came round. And then I went on the waiting list for the NHS because I knew something was wrong. And they said to me, do you have any traumas or any kind of crimes or anything that's happened to you? And an hour later, right, they were like, that's enough. Okay.
Stop. You had us at corns.
Yeah. And like, I was going for treatment for like, so with the NHS, if you do think that you have CPTSD or whatever, where I was in London, it would take 7 weeks to get treatment for PTSD, or you could wait 3 years to go to a specialist place that have a stock centre to go for CPTSD. The treatment that we went for was like the one that you have to do. You talk through the memory again and again. You go through the detail that scared you, and the detail that like triggers me or that I'm most scared of is the realisation, like, because there's a thing about when the man came down the stairs, like, okay, you're being robbed, but the front door is there, so he's going to leave through the front door because he's got all he's needed to get. But when he turned around to come into me, that was the bit. And it wasn't the bit with him having a knife, because the scariest bit was the bit of him turning around. Yeah. It wasn't so, like, and the fucked up thing was, I was doing this therapy, and because I did, like, this happened to me July 1 year, and I was going to Edinburgh in August, and part of me, like, when he had the knife, right, I was like, keep every detail of this, baby. You're going to use this in stand-up. Like, you got to process this for stand-up. Yeah. So, like, I did it. And when I was doing it in front of crowds, as soon as he said he had a knife, they were like, we don't find this funny.
Because that's actually
very scary.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I would do then is, like, I would keep back the detail that he had a knife because it's funnier. Do you know what I mean? It's just like a caper. And like, I wanted it to be funny and I wanted it to be a caper because I wanted to, like, the thing about trauma is like, getting a lot of bricks dumped in your front garden. You're like, oh, what the fuck is this? All these bricks. And then you'd like try and build something out. I was trying to build a house out of these bricks.
You try and take control of it.
Yeah, but foundationally, I mean, it was fucked, you know? And they fall around you and you're like, oh no, it's just bricks.
Yeah.
Like, I want to, so like I was shitty trying Jenga.
Shitty Jenga.
So with doing stand-up about it and what I wanted to do, and the big thing about, like, I'm bringing a show to Edinburgh and I've done stuff about being robbed before and I kept crying after every gig and I didn't understand why, because I didn't feel like sad. Because it was just like, because you're in like stand-up mode, but I physically just couldn't stop. Like, and I was like, my eyes are leaking. What the fuck's this about? Oh, God. So then I wanted to do a show about the processing of trauma. But I've kind of come to the realisation within the past 2 weeks, it's 2 weeks to go to Edinburgh, that, like, I was going down a path that was making me sad again. Yeah. Like, I could listen to the records and I sounded sad for 20 minutes. And then I'd be like, why is this 20-minute bit fucking up the vibe of the whole hour? It's kind of like understanding what... I was going to say limitations are, or boundaries or whatever. I've no boundaries at all. Like, I do podcasts and I do stand-up and everything. I talk about everything because I feel like... Maybe it's because I was brought up Catholic.
Mm.
And when you're Catholic, you have the... There's a whole confession thing.
Mm.
But there is a lot of, like... keeping stuff quiet, and that makes things worse.
Limitations and boundaries, like, it's sort of a weird, not weird, it's saying anything like limitation or boundary is, it feels
negative.
It feels abrupt and negative.
Yeah, it does.
And it's not so much about that, because I know exactly what you mean about the sort of lack of boundaries surrounding wanting to discuss things and actually, because I'll say this all the time, like, with a lot of the shit that's happened to me, I have to make a joke out of it.
Yeah.
And it is a coping mechanism, of course it is. But there are some things that are really fucking funny.
Absolutely. The biggest laughs I've had are at funerals by miles.
Oh my God, they're the funniest.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
The most grimmest, horrible shit.
But there's something about it. But it is like, if you can find this, like, light and joy within something, it is a way of... I think taking ownership and having control over it and being able to, like, process it. But I think there's, and what I have learned, because I try to do it too quickly, of being
that's
like,
that's my problem.
Yeah, I try to be like, this is so funny and I'm so, oh my God, look how okay I am with this.
Yeah.
And it turned out it was too quick, it was too soon. And I needed to take a step back and be like, one day this will be funny. It's not funny right now for me.
It's annoying though, because then you're just like, yeah, I'm impatient for it to become funny because
ADHD just left as well. Trauma. Yeah. You're just like, for fuck's sake. Like,
yeah.
Come on, why can't I find this funny? Why can't my nervous system find this funny?
I know, and the nervous system is such a, like, giveaway. It's so frankly.
It's just a, like, trying to jam something in it. You're like, come on, man.
I know, I'm just a silly goose who gets scared sometimes.
Just a silly goose. Are you allowed to talk about you changing up your Edinburgh show, depending? Yeah.
I am. I'm excited about, like, I got a few previews.
Mm.
It's just about, like, because I just want the audience to have as good a time as possible.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to be worried about me.
Do you know what I mean?
Because I get, like, because I talk loads about different stuff.
Mm.
Like, I did a preview in Oxford. And, like, I had a bit of a cry after. And, like, there's no more vulnerable... can you imagine, right, going to watch someone do stand-up and then leaving out the entrance and seeing that they're crying beside the door?
This is the opposite of what I thought was going on.
You lied to me.
You lied to me. You're a phony.
You're not happy at all. What's this? So... So, like, I need to change it up. I mean, these are very low expectations. If you are coming to see me and you're like, she promises not to cry after.
She's going to try really hard not to cry.
Yeah.
What is the name of the show?
It's called Soup.
Soup is one of my favourite things on the planet.
I fucking love soup. I'm in a soup sharing WhatsApp group that people just send in pictures of their soups.
What's your favourite soup?
Today, minestrone, but I will not be held to that.
No, I can't be held to that. It does change. Yeah, I'm not willing to go on the record and say...
The soup du jour today is minestrone.
Soup du jour today is... I love that. Okay, soup du jour.
What's your soup du jour today?
Cream of chicken.
Nice. Out of... Okay. Do you have, like... In the soup WhatsApp group, we have a thing called Talk Us Through, which means if you just send a lone picture of soup...
Hmm.
To say TUT or talk us through means give us more detail.
Yeah.
Is the soup? I'm considering doing a podcast about soup.
I fucking love it. Can I come on?
Soup du jour. Like, every different people just talk about soup. It'll be 5 minutes long and I don't care.
It's endless. There are so many kinds of soup.
Do you know what? I'm going to fucking do it.
I think you should.
I'm going to do it.
I think it's a really good idea. I would happily spend an hour talking about soup. I love soup.
Hold me to this. I'm going to do it. Soup du jour.
Soup du jour.
hospital.
Cream chicken soup. Have you had those Covent Garden ones? That's
yes.
got like the like big chunks of chicken. But I do because I've been sick recently, and you know what? I was just about to launch into an Irish accent because for some reason it just sounds so much more wholesome to go, and you dress when you're sick and you have a big bowl of chicken soup.
That's a very specific Irish accent as well.
It's so unintentional.
You sound like your name is Katie that does accounting.
My name is Katie.
Please don't do this, Michael. Please.
Yeah, please.
I've put
please.
Down a deposit on
I'm
the
getting
wedding.
Married. Like, Henry and I are getting married in August. Please don't do this to me now.
It's who are they talking to? The florist. The florist has had a nervous breakdown.
We're talking, we're Florist Gump.
Yeah, Florist Gump. There's got to be a Florist Gump. Would you get your wedding flowers from a company called Florist Gump?
I would, though? Just to tell people that I had.
But then would they let you down?
I would want them to be as shit as possible.
I can't believe I'd Florist like Gump would not take my wedding seriously.
I want it to be like dried wheat and like a white feather.
Yeah.
Florist.
Yeah, yes. Oh. Very good. That's
where,
very good.
Where'd you get the flower? Florist Gump. Florist Gump. Yeah. Oh, I don't know what we've got there. Katie, who works in accounting, who just she, all I want Henry tonight. Please, just get the cream of chicken soup. Dear God.
The florist has let me down. Get the cream of chicken soup.
What are we having for the starter? Minestrone, but don't hold me to it.
Yeah, I will not be held to the dinner.
I will not be held, Michael.
You cannot pin out of it on me.
I say minestrone today, tomorrow it could be pea and ham.
Absolutely. It would never be pea and ham.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Pea and ham.
Yeah.
Pea and ham.
You fucking lunatic.
Pea and ham. Pea and ham. Pea and ham sounds like a horrible sex position. Would you like some pea and ham, would you?
Do you want a pea and ham?
I don't know why it sounds more disgusting to be asked to be pea and ham. You know?
You ham and pea and ham. Ham and pea. Mm. What about pea and a mint? No!
It's fresher.
Cream of chicken or chicken noodle, I made one the other day which was celery and cream of celery. It was
cream of celery,
fucking delicious.
You are, because I've been doing some I've been doing some material about soup and I've been asking people what their soup style is, which is like what's the
cream
soup?
Off.
Yeah, well, it kind of was like leek, and then he came up to me after. He's like, "Oh, I just didn't want to sound basic," and I was like, "There's nothing more basic than leek." Like, leek alone.
Leek.
One guy said warm gazpacho, and I don't want to kink shame anyone, but I was like, "That is wrong."
The
flavor profile is mostly cucumber.
Like,
can you imagine
warm gazpacho? You're trying to be fancy with the tomato there, aren't you? Like, that's...
Yeah.
That's... I don't want to... Yeah, you're right. It sounds like I'm kink-shaming, but
hot cuke juice. Like, just...
I do not... I don't fucking trust you as far as I can kick you into traffic.
I'll fling it into your face as a defense mechanism.
Disgusting. It was fucking 1 year.
Who put hot gazpacho down the toilet? It was funny.
Disgusting.
It's the best place for it, though. It's the best place for it.
I just love that you're in a WhatsApp group. I genuinely think.
Yes.
I think it would be such a good idea to do a podcast about soup.
I'm going to do it. I fully recommend if anyone's, and like, let's face it, most of the audience are probably a bit mental.
You should join
a WhatsApp group that's very niche that you can't argue. Like, if you like dogs, or someone is in a WhatsApp group with Bee of the Day, where they take a picture of a bee and they put it into a WhatsApp group.
What could you do? I'm in a phase of saving snails from the street at the moment.
They are out, baby.
They are out and about. Yeah.
I saw a naked snail, and it's genuinely
a slug.
People said a slug, but I'm like, no, bitch, this is a snail. I can feel. Because it was like one slug in a sea of snails. And I'm like, no, this is a homeless slug. This is... I'm just saying, I just... Maybe I'm wrong, but I think socially a slug would not be down for being with that many snails in close proximity.
Yeah, it's like having a centipede among millipedes or something.
No, you're gonna be torn apart. You're gonna be torn apart.
It's not safe. It's not safe.
Not a safe space for that millipede.
It's not a safe environment.
But the snails are out, aren't they?
Yeah, and I'm saving them from the street at the moment because they're living dangerously. They don't know what's going on. So I keep on going, you're gonna get stepped on if you stand there. So I keep
They don't give a shit. I like the way they crunch those. Like, as in, like, I don't like that way. I'm not a person that's... But, like, if I was going to get stepped on, I'd want the person to know I was there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you crunch it, you're like, oh, no.
I want it to be one or the other.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be invisible.
No. I want my death to be, like, messy as possible.
Messy as possible.
A six-person cleanup.
Yeah.
Either that or surrounded by my loved one.
I'll take either.
Either scraped up by strangers or surrounded by loved ones. That's what I would like. Yeah.
Oh dear.
Just
gosh.
Like someone with a toothbrush and an all white, like, do you know, jacket.
There's a little like chalk outline on the floor. Yeah.
Outline. Nah, mate. I want a power washer. That's what I want. I want to be power washed away. three vans, a 2-day job. That's what I want.
I want to segue here to a tiny little story that
I want to destroy the property prices around that place. Like
that's the fucking dream. What I want to ask at this point, so we've discussed a lot of things in the trauma and everything that happened with that, but I also want to know, what are the things about you as a person that you genuinely love and cherish about yourself?
Oh, I'm going to skip the part where we go, I don't like myself that much, it's fine.
Don't worry, Helen Bell came out being like, my tits are great, so.
Well, I can't say that. So. Not in the past 2 years. I like that I am helpful.
Nice.
I like that I feel that I can, like, a week ago, I was in Cornwall, and this woman had fallen into a bush in her front garden, and like she was, I'd say, in her 80s, maybe 90s, and I just said to her, I'm going to put my hand under your bum, and I'm going to pull you up, and she's like, yeah, no problem, and I pulled her up, and then, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's not that good of a deed if I told you about it now.
No, it's being broadcast on a podcast. And she's listening. But yeah, like, I know what you mean, because it came, I think when you do things like that, it doesn't really cross your mind not to do it. You don't really make the decision to do it or not to do it. It just happens. And then after the fact, you go, oh, I really like that I'm that person.
I
think it's great.
Yeah. So is it, imagine, like, I like my morals. I like my sense of self. Really, I bet you have. Sorry, I don't want to take the piss out.
No. Oh, my God. You absolutely take the piss. Do whatever you want.
But yeah, I do. I like being helpful.
That's really nice. Yeah. I like that a lot. And then we have a segment of the podcast that we like to call Thank You Letters, where we ask you to express gratitude for a place, a person, or a thing, or one of all three, or two, or whatever you want, but something for which, or someone who you're grateful.
I do
want to
thank my landlord, Philip.
I love that.
I think that, like, if he didn't... Like, he never raised my rent. I lived there for, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
And it was, like... The rent was cheap enough that I could, like, live there and work part-time or do... Like, I never knew how much money I was getting in per month, but I always had, like, a sense of security.
That's so great. Yeah.
That I could be with... Like, that I could communicate with Philip.
Yeah.
Or, like... So I do think, like, if you are a landlord, a really nice thing would be to not raise your rent for your tenants, even though I know your mortgage might be going up and you might be a buy-to-let landlord, but fuck you.
Yeah.
Investments go up as well as down, and you'll always have that house, and you don't have to pass on every expense to another person because they're helping pay your mortgage.
Yeah.
So genuinely very thankful to Philip.
That's, like, really
absolutely nice.
I think that's a really lovely one as well. That's
because the kindest thing that, like, I think to do something kind for someone you don't know, and I mean kind as in, like, not gouging someone, is a wonderful thing to do. I think you can go through life without trying to squeeze the most value for you. You can like live in a society and try and landlords are important. Like it's important to be able to live in a city and do stuff. So I am thankful for them. It sounds like I'm totally subtweeting people, but I'm not. Mm-mm. I just genuinely am very thankful to Philip. So thank you very much, Philip. He's a legend.
This episode was sponsored by Philip.
Imagine. Airbnb. The benevolent company.
The benevolent. The good ones.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Airbnb. We got your back.
Yeah.
No break-ins for you. And you're heading to Edinburgh in a couple of weeks?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, girl.
Oh, yes. So the show is called Soup, and I'm not sure, like, I probably, what will be in it that I just, I think it's going to be good. I have, like, 5 different bits that I'm proud of.
Nice.
That I'll pop in, and it's all about the order of it and doing callbacks and all that kind of, I'm in the stage of, like, trying to make the links funny, trying to put the story in the most enjoyable way for the viewer and stuff. And like I had a projector, I don't think I'm going to project anymore, but I am planning, and I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to have to actually do an email today, but I think I'm going to like build a garden on a stage, like with the budget of like, if I can do it for 70 quid. So I'm going to see if I can do
100%.
That.
We did that once for a school play. And
did
it,
you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't. My drama teacher did, but it was
can
like,
I get in touch with your drama teacher? I got any spare.
I think he might be in prison.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, one of those ones. Yeah.
We managed to cut that. we did that at school once. And by all accounts, it was a wonderful production of Alice in Wonderland.
Ooh, incredible. Yeah, I'd love to, like, I think I'm going to, it'll be good fun, and it'll be funny, and you shall come. And I got merch for it because it's with Monkey Barrel. So I got these like badges.
Oh, cute!
And this tote bag that's like a string tote bag. So I'm very excited about it. It's going to be very silly.
I'm going to link it all below in this episode. And maybe some recipes to cream and chicken soup or something.
Absolutely.
But thank you so, so much for coming on. This has been such a pleasure. I'm beyond excited. I'm not heading to Edinburgh this year. I've actually never been, but I am planning on coming at some point. But I will link everything below. And if you're in Edinburgh this year, please, please, please go and see Miss Alison Spittle.
And if you're not, I'm going to be on tour at some point. And go to my social media at Alison Spittle. Go to the link tree. Bang.
Fucking lovely. Yeah. All right, babes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you or anyone you know is struggling or needs help with the issues discussed on Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends, please visit the podcast bio where you will find contact numbers with people readily available to give support. Please get in touch with your stories at either contact@whydoyouthink.com or on Instagram at Emily_Lang_UK or at Why Do You Think Podcast. To have your story or your thank you letter read on the podcast, please put survivor story or thank you letter either at the top or in the subject line. We really want to hear from you. We don't care if it's a catastrophe story or a small win from your week, your favourite place, person or thing. We are here for all of it. Don't forget to rate and subscribe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.